Hey, everybody, welcome to the Riverdale After Show. Remember, what happens in the pit stays in the pit, unless you win and then you get Pop's Burgers. We're breaking down chapter 38, season 3, episode 3, As Above, So Below. Let's do it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That little jingle jangle from the Archies, thanks to the lovely and talented Sam D hooking us up with that musical choice. Welcome, everybody, to the Riverdale After Show, breaking down all the shenanigans that happen to all your favorite teens there in Riverdale every single week. I'm Frank Moran.
Hello, guys. I'm Sam Davidson. I'm so sorry I've missed you dearly for the past... how many? 5 months, and I'm here. I'm so excited.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm Veronica Valencia, and I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Very happy to have you. Now, of course, the lovely and talented Ben Bateman could not be with us here, and I feel like if there's any episode for him to miss, this is probably the worst one for him to.
Yes, we have a lot of comments in the chat saying, you know, how much do you want to bet that Ben is going to talk about Archie's shortlist? And, you know, he's in there in the pit with Archie. We're not sure who wins yet, but we'll see if Ben comes out on top.
I would have guaranteed that if Ben would have been here, there probably would have been at least 10 to 15 minutes just sub-talk about shirtlessness, body fat percentage,
cutting to get to size. Do we keep tallies? How many times shirtless Archie pops up in the series? Do we keep tallies?
We do. We love to. Absolutely. I mean, this. I think if you looked at all Riverdale as a whole so far, season 3 is so far topping it, and it's only the third episode.
I mean, it's a lot. It's too much toplessness to count.
Go big or go home, right?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so we're going to be breaking down everything there in chapter 38, As Above, So Below. We'll have some news and gossip. We'll play our usual special segment there, class president and class clown. So we'll do that as well. So before we get into the episode in particular, what did you two think about the episode overall?
I'll start. So I think that Riverdale, the last season, has a hard time starting off. You know, the beginning of their seasons, the first two episodes, they're getting their footing. And then the third or fourth episodes usually kind of bring a lot of excitement. I'm excited I came back on this episode because we had the Underground Club and musical performances. I loved it. I love when all the characters come together. So I was a big fan.
I agree with you, Sam. I like when all the characters come together. I like that this season said, you want to know what? We are going to go and dive deep into the realm of supernatural. We are going for it. And they have since delivered that episode after episode. And I liked how this episode we got to get a little bit more insight, kind of sort of into, what was it, Griffins and Gargoyles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, as Ben and I have talked about it in the past couple weeks, they're kind of setting it up as they've talked about in previous episodes. This is like the ultimate evil. And I'm thinking, this is only season 3, guys, and you're already, you know, going ultimate evil. How do you top yourself in season 4?
I just have to say, you know, Frank has been here the whole time. I have been here the whole time. How many times from the start of this series did I say it was going to turn supernatural? It was going to turn into devil worshiping cultness? And, you know, half of you thought I was crazy, and the other half out there thought I was right. So just got to put it out there. Go back. Watch all of our episodes. You'll see.
There you go. Sam is basically just making sure that she gets full credit.
Thank you. Yes.
I mean, I was going to say, by like mid-season 2, things were already getting like really, really crazy. At that point, I was like, this show can basically do whatever they want at this point.
Well, this episode, we really get to see what's up with Archie. Mad Dog has been taken off the table, and Archie's been tapped after his awesome fisticuffs in the prison riot from last episode by the warden to be his new Mad Dog, which means he's got to spend some time in the pit. We saw the teasers, if you watch the show when it airs, there's always little teasers for the next week. So kind of had an idea what the pit was going to be involved. But what did you two think? Were you was the pit what you were expecting? Were you surprised by anything you saw during Archie's storyline?
I more was just, this is something we're going to have to get over, and then he's going to have to come back and get reacclimated with everybody, and I'm just, oi, oi, oi. But I guess he has to do something, and why not be in a fight club?
Why not? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't really have a choice, but in this very corrupt society, I'm not surprised that it was a thing. It was, I don't know. I was just like, eh. Like, why?
Were you hoping, like, oh, Fight Club, I feel that's very passe? Were you open for something a little bit deeper and meaner and more sinister or sadistic?
Not really. Okay. I think this is where it should be. I think if it went any deeper and darker, I think it would have just been a little too much, especially with everything going on in everyone else's storylines. So I think that this was perfect for the tone of what's going on in the prison.
So Archie, of course, you know, with his awesome fighting skills, I mean, we see him, he's shirtless and running around and working out constantly. So should be no surprise that he takes out his competitor on his first fight, which is one punch.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's down for the count.
I mean, but he's a ginger after all. Like, what else do you expect?
There you go. Beats of strength. Beats of strength. But the warden says, hey, you know what? You gotta, we have a bloodlust. You got to satisfy that bloodlust. You have to let it go 5 or 6 rounds. You can't really just do this one punch. It's not going to fly. So I want to know what you think. Archie has that little kind of heart-to-heart with his dad for a moment. I mean, we all pretty much figure, even though we do see Fred earlier in the episode saying, I want to see my son. We know it's not really Fred. But what did you I thought that conversation between him and Fred was like, all right.
Wait, what do you mean that's not really Fred?
It was just a figment of it. It was like imagining if my dad was here and we were having this conversation.
Yes, yes, yes. I really was hoping it was Fred, actually, because I was like, damn, Fred knows how to finally say, I'm going to get a freaking lawyer and right? do something right and not be like, and just survive somehow constantly.
I agree. I was hoping it was Fred, but I was just like, there's no way. There's no way. Just based on time, based on everything that's going on, there's no way that it's Fred. But I think it was very nice. I always love the tender moments between Fred and Archie whenever they can get them. And I just thought it was kind of funny because basically Fred is telling him, you know, take a punch, dude, which
basically means just like do what the warden is saying.
So yeah, Derek Hogan in the chat said, how funny would it be if Archie developed a reverse Tyler Durden split personality?
There you go. And it was his dad. That was it.
Yeah. It might not be that far from the truth, quite honestly.
Go ahead, Mara.
I was going to say, I want to know how everyone else in this fight club got chosen, because if this is supposed to be the strongest of the strong and Archie takes them out with like one punch, I just want to know, like, what were the requirements? Or are we just supposed to know that Archie is this god with all the mighty strength?
Because he takes a beatdown at the end of the episode.
But that's because he's letting him.
Yeah, to milk the fight. And then he still pops the guy with one punch. So you're right. But I felt like I was expecting some other twist or way Archie was going to be able to maybe get out of the fight club. Like, he was just going to get beaten. So the warden say, you were useless. So I'm dumping you back into Gen Pop and just moving on to somebody else. But it doesn't. He just basically just does what the warden wants.
No, but he uses kindness in a way. You know, he prepares people and he has a bigger plan that he is planning to execute because he actually does think he is a god of sorts.
We do find out there at the end of the episode, because he won, first in the episode, he gets Pop's Burgers. And of course, that's great. And that happens so fast that he gets those Pop's Burgers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the episode, he gets some of Mad Dog's belongings. He gets them passed down to him. And as he opens one of the books, he sees a little rock hammer inside there and starts his mind to thinking that, oh yeah, hey, maybe I could break out of here.
That was stupid.
Dumb Archie moment.
Dumb Archie moment.
Given Archie's, you know, his general stupidity, he makes a lot of dumb decisions. Sometimes Archie, for the right reasons, but he just makes a lot of dumb choices. How well do you think this prison break is going to go?
It's going to fail.
Yes.
I saw that movie, Papillon, a few months ago, which is about a prison break. It had Charlie Hunnam and Rami Malek, and it was a disaster. I mean, it was a lovely movie, but it was a very stressful 2.5 hours, and I will say I do not want to watch that again. 100% no, but I was very much seeing, like, similarities in this prison. Oh, you're getting this, you can break out. How many times are we going to try to see Archie break out of prison? I really don't want to see it more than once.
Yeah.
Truly.
No, it's if he ends up finding somebody that has an elaborate tattoo on them, like Prison Break, to do a prison breakout, let's just go full crazy. But I don't want him. I don't think I want him in there longer than half a season.
No. And I have a neighbor I met at my rooftop pool who's a writer for Riverdale season 3. He's a new writer, and I gave him my full theory in the pool. And I was like, how long is Archie going to be stuck in prison? And I looked at him for a very long time, and I don't think it's going to be more than 4 episodes.
So it means next week he's getting out?
And it's probably going to be closer maybe to 6. I don't know. We'll see. No, but it's not. We don't have it next week. So that's the thing.
The next episode. Well, the next episodes are flashback. So then after that, you're thinking maybe by then he could be on his way out?
I could have a theory about that, but I'll save it for later.
Ooh, all right. I like it. Oh, there you go. Already teasing us. A lot of great theories, you know, because theories are what we all pride ourselves on. We all love TV. We all have come up with where we think storylines are going. And you know what? We like to collect all those in great after shows. And we do that for you, the AfterBuzz TV fans, because our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite shows, from dramas, reality TV, like Survivor. Look at that. We do great after shows like that, sci-fi and more. There's no network that works harder to satisfy you, the TV fans. But we need your help. So we're asking that you subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by doing that, YouTube's going to subscribe or suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and help you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. So if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out all our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. And let us know in the comments that you did subscribe. And you know what? Sam Davidson is going to go and find a little vial of a Sweetwater River. Mm-hmm. And then mail it to you so that you have your own little vial of Sweetwater River.
I'll pee in it. I'll send it right to you.
All right. Maybe don't comment then about that. Don't put them in your name. Comment somebody else's name. Thanks for being the best fans and helping us become the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes. We love you guys. We see you in the live chat. Please comment and, you know, we'll give you some shout outs.
Absolutely.
We love you guys so much.
So I feel like we should dive into the main episode, the main point of this, what the season's turning out to be. It's all about the Griffins and Gargoyles.
And I need to start, there's a lot of people in the chat, they were like, Sam, it's not supernatural, blah, blah, blah. I have some news and gossip for you guys, but it is in the same universe as Sabrina, which is a supernatural devil-worshipping show. Do not believe when writers necessarily say, this isn't supernatural. I just don't think that's something you should believe. So apparently the writers have said that, but I do think this is going in that direction. So I would just like to preface this conversation with that.
Thank you. Well, we have Ethel, who was bummed that her boy Ben made that leap at the end of the episode. Veronica and obviously Betty and Jughead are now hanging out in Dilton's underground bunker, just thinking about, oh, that was so sad about what Ben did. And they're just hooking up in Dilton's, you know, just abandoned bunker.
That's where they were. I was like, why is the bed so small?
You got to have all those, you know, G&G props that you need to do all those campaigns.
Jesus. I mean, yeah.
Got to keep them all secure.
I was just very over Ethel this episode when I was like, you want to know what? Ethel? No. Nobody should die. No other people should die. But was just not thrilled with her.
I agree. I'm just like, in my head, what was going on with her? Like, what possession? Like, I'm so curious at this point of what this game is doing to make these people think so irrationally and do this.
Well, I mean, what little we've seen of Ethel, because she's more of a tertiary character. We kind of see her pop in every so often for an episode, maybe two. But anytime we've really seen her, we've not really seen her life in the best light. She's always had some particular hardships or struggles that she's going through. So in a way, it doesn't surprise me that she would get wrapped up in a G&G or, you know, D&D analog type game and kind of all of a sudden believe that that's a reality that she can buy into, where she can be a queen and she can be with her prince at the end of the day.
I mean, my big question, which I hope the answer is yes, is that has this been a long game the whole time? Because we get introduced to Ethel season one, all of those things happen. We get introduced to Dilton Doily season one, who was a huge, huge kind of part of Jason's death, because he was there. And so I'm just hoping that this has been a plan from the beginning. You never know with shows like these, but I kind of hope they try to tie it into one. Do you think?
Go ahead, Veronica.
I don't know. I feel like whatever this game is, because they did say that they started playing at the beginning of the summer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like whatever this game does, it holds on to you. It catches on quickly. So I don't know if it would have a long-lasting effect with continuous players.
Mm-hmm. We see, though, that Jughead, of course, there's a mystery afoot, and he loves a good mystery. So he wants to find out more about how this game is constructed, the rules and everything. And Ethel says that, I will show you, Jughead, because I think you can be worthy. Betty, though, nah, there's no hope for her. So she doesn't get a play in this.
How does Jughead know what to drink?
I feel like that was a gamble.
He was like, I will die.
Why?
I will die. I will sit here and die and drink the Kool-Aid and have a blue mouth forever.
He's the one who like sits on this throne of like, I kind of seem like, he sees himself a little bit higher than anyone else. And I'm like, really, dude, you're going to take this gamble?
Would you take that gamble? If you wanted to find out a possible answer to a mystery that's really gnawing at you, would you put your life on the line?
No. And I feel like it's because I wouldn't trust Ethel. I felt like maybe Jughead had a small faith in Ethel that she wouldn't put his life in danger. She would give him the cup that was okay.
But I don't think so. I don't think that was her plan at all. She was, like, hoping that he would take the non-drugged one so she could die and be with her man or, mm-hmm. you know, all of her peeps. I think that he took a really irresponsible risk, and I would love to think that he had some kind of plan of, I don't know, pulling the trigger, sticking his finger down his throat later on. I don't know. But I just think he could have easily died.
Well, he does drink the drink that is not poisoned. Ethel then drinks the poison chalice, and fortunately, Jughead gets her to the hospital in time. But not before giving him the rule book and also getting a smooch. You got to get that smooch. You got to get that rule book.
I have a question. Do we know if Ethel had the rule book, like, on her person and it wasn't in the bunker? Because if it was in the bunker, I was going to be like, guys, you're the king and queen of snooping. That's How right. are you not looking in the bunker for this very clear scripture?
Also, secondly, how are you not taking photos of it? Hide it somewhere, take pictures of the pages.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Just take photos of it. You don't need anything else. It's not that hard.
Well, we find out that that's really for naught anyway, because the end of the episode has Ethel saying to the Gargoyle King, oh, I've spread your word like you wanted. And as much as FP tried to destroy what he thought was the only copy of the G&G rulebook, it has now shown up in every kid's locker there at Riverdale.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure what's going on here. I don't think it's going to straight out be a supernatural thing. People are fighting me on this, guys. But I'm going to stay true to my guns. I don't think that being that showed up was necessarily a supernatural devil-looking thing. We just saw a weird shadow. But there is something behind what's going on. And do you guys think that it has been going on during FP's and Alice's time, which is why they're like, burn it, do something. Do like that this happened to them in high school. Maybe why that's why the next episode is going to be a flashback.
I don't know. I mean, certainly the power suggestion, especially centering around things like D&D, there have been stories of people getting really sucked into this world and treating it as if it were a real thing and getting lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see something like that where it doesn't have to be supernatural, but it is just these people just developed this mentality that, no, this is the real world and lose themselves that way.
What about Alice? We're going to talk about Alice.
We will talk about Alice.
Okay. I love Alice.
But I have to say, all right, so you're in high school. You open up, you get to school and you open up your locker and you see this G&G rule book in there. Would you like, oh, yeah, I should play a game? Or it doesn't even matter. It's like, I don't care if I have a rule book. I'm not interested in playing G&G.
Propaganda. I don't know. Like, I just open it and say, oh, another flyer.
I have another theory about this. I don't know if I should wait or just say it now.
Lay your theory.
Lay it out.
My theory is that I feel like, and again, this kind of goes back to the idea that maybe it's supernatural. Sorry, guys. But I feel like whatever this book is, maybe it holds some kind of ability that, like, when you read it, you awaken something.
Hypnosis.
And so maybe that's what leads into the obsession with the Gargoyle King. It's kind of like his awakening.
All right.
Yeah, and it's almost maybe like some kind of spell or something that you can read, and it's like blah, 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 and then all of a sudden you're like, boom, like cyber-focused on something, and everybody wants to play.
Well, speaking of playing, everybody likes to play in the chat room. They like to share their thoughts, opinions, suggestions. And folks, the way you can do that is just get involved. Go to our live stream. There's a chat room right there. You can hop in. You can also subscribe to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You can rate and comment down there as well to make sure that you keep getting all this great AfterBuzz content coming.
Yes, agreed.
So we have Betty and Jughead and their request in terms of the G&G and all that stuff. But we also see at the beginning of the episode, kind of intercut with that, is FP and Alice. They finally get the little hookup that you've been so craving for, Sam.
I was
not alone.
Sad, but I wasn't satisfied because it just happened all of a sudden. I know we built up last season, but the first 2 episodes, we didn't see any of this. All of a sudden, they're doing it. I was just confused and felt like it wasn't real in some way, and that I don't know. I oddly was not satisfied. I was more satisfied by the trailer for it than I was in the actual thing.
I feel that Riverdale will do that, where they will build that anticipation for an event to happen between two characters, then just move on and not deal with it, and then they'll come back to it. Either it's the next season or many, many episodes later, and all of a sudden it has happened already, and you're like, huh? That was it? I thought they've already hooked up. We didn't get to see a build up to that. Oh.
Yeah, I need a build up, guys. I need an actual build up.
I hope they give us more of that though, because what we literally saw in the trailer is what we saw this episode, and it's just like kind of needed more of that. So I'm hoping they will, especially now if there's this blast from the past coming back to haunt them.
So a Charmed original in the chat said the game was created by one or more of the parents back in the day. Next week we will find out if Hal or Alice or Hiram, etc., created G&G. Someone did it. Hal was evil, so you know, maybe he did it, and I don't know.
Yeah, but we know Hal's kind of out of pocket, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if I see Hiram as a G&G guy. I don't know. Who knows? It'll be interesting. But we do, though, find out because Betty wants to, thinks that the people on the farm might have something to do with it. They've kind of popped up at the same time as this G&G thing. So she sets up with Evelyn like, oh, yeah, maybe I should maybe meet your dad, talk to him a little bit. And so instead, they set up a little meeting at Betty's house with Alice and Polly and some of the members of the farm.
Ugh.
And an awkward kind of intervention. But and a weird group where you just need to go and share your bad stuff. I agree.
Scientology,
with Betty.
Anybody?
Yeah. Tell us all your bad stuff so we have something on you forever. As much as somebody might be looking for help, I don't know if I'd go to a group of strangers and share my deepest, darkest secrets and feel like, oh yeah, these people will never tell anybody what I've done.
Idiots. I mean, listen, I expect that of Polly. No offense, Paul. But but with Alice, either she is part of this from the beginning and she has a way bigger plan, or she is a really weak character that I really should have never rooted for, and I'm sorry that I ever did, if she is so easily taken by these farm people.
See, I was going to say, I felt like Alice has just dealt with so much crap in her life that she wants a glimmer of hope, and that's what these people are. She just trusts them too much, clearly, dumping off all their dirty baggage. That could very much ruin all of their lives. But I feel like she's just trying to hold on to something, especially after everything that happened in season two.
She already married Hal, had children with him, had a serial killer on the loose, which I'm sure she feels super responsible for. How could she not be more cautious when spilling all the family secrets to a cult?
But then I to play devil's advocate for a moment.
But I'm
we do see that Alice has always been, as she's kind of drawn to FP, especially last season, never really acted very much on it. She always was kind of with a little step back. And this episode, when we see them together, I mean, FB does say, like, you know, I'm just glad your time at the farm has kind of just kind of mellowed you out to the point where, yeah, you could do something like this. So in a way, is the farm also kind of good? Because it got Alice to a point where she could be like, yeah.
Or she banged FP.
Yeah. So, I mean, it may not be all bad.
I feel like it helped her relax, but I feel like she should still proceed with caution. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't just dive in and start telling them everything. But I think if it's helping her calm down, then why not, I guess.
Take a Xanax. I don't know.
There are things that you tell them. Like, oh, yeah, I had, my son that I thought was my son wasn't really my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share that. But I'm not going to share, oh, I helped bury a dead body.
Well,
never say, I keep that zip, 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 never telling anybody that.
And throw her daughter under the bus, which is a huge thing. You know, I felt for Betty so much and I related to her so much in this episode because, fine, if you want to throw your life away, cool, you do that. But don't, you're going to hurt my life by saying I was involved by helping you, which is such a big secret. It was the whole big secret of the entire last season. And the fact that Alice did that so easily, it hurt me as a viewer.
It hurt to hear her say she doesn't trust her, that she trusts these random people more than she trusts her own daughter. Which leads you to believe, what is Alice hiding with whatever this G&G thing is? Because I feel like it's in relation to that.
True. I mean, at least Betty does find out through that conversation, that intervention, that Alice knows a lot about this game and even tells Jughead, I think our parents played this game back in the day. So, yeah, who knows how mixed up that they are in it.
But then did you guys think that when they burned it, I got the feeling that, okay, maybe Alice is trying to get ahead of this and she's been ahead of this the whole time and has been faking it. So when she brought it to FP and they burned it, they were trying to stop it. I don't know. I felt like she was kind of playing both sides.
I could totally see that. She's one smart cookie.
It considering that we went from last week when all the parents were kind of involved in that quick little meeting they had, then that was just Alice and FP. I will be interested to see next week just how deep a lot of the other parents are involved in all this. And are some just like, oh, I was just there for a few minutes. So, I mean, I really don't have much to do with it.
It's like one of those things, a horror movie that, you know, I know what you did last summer. They all get together like, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. And it's for the rest of their lives.
So we also have a huge opening in Riverdale. Holy cow, the speakeasy's opening, everybody.
Woo.
Yes.
Can we do a pop-up, guys, in L.A.? You know, maybe
that would be amazing.
What is it called, the speakeasy?
The Bon Nuit?
Le Bon Nuit.
Yeah. So thank Veronica. You,
look at that.
I try.
the first thing I thought about that is because it's in this little secret entry in Pops where you got to dial a number on the phone and then you get entry in there. I thought, man, this place is huge. I guess it's underground. I mean, I guess that basement is huge, but boy, holy cow, that thing was way more enormous than I was picturing it was going to be.
I mean, I just have a feeling that back in the day, I don't know if we'll ever get into this, but I would love to see some flashbacks about what actually happened down there, some mafioso things, shootings, you know, probably storing of drugs, which we saw with the Jingle Jingle is just the start of it, but that Veronica can just be so naive. She thinks she has it going on, but Hiram is always a step ahead of her.
Well, I mean, we do get to see that Penny shows up, as well as Sheriff... whatever his name is.
Idiot.
Sheriff Idiot. There you go, sure.
Where's my hottie toddy, Sheriff? What was his? Oh, God.
Sheriff
Kevin's
Keller?
Dad. Sheriff Keller.
No, Hot Dads of Riverdale?
That's Sheriff Keller. That's Kevin's dad. Yeah, of course. Whatever the sheriff's name. I can't remember. I'm blanking on his name. Minetta. Thank you, Veronica. You saved the day. But both of them kind of put the squeeze on her for protection money of sorts. And Veronica's like, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm going to let my dad know that, like, I'm on to you and I'm not going to play your game. I felt like Veronica's solution, not that great. Or at least the way that she executed it.
Yeah, it's like, don't tell your nemesis that you're on to them. I mean, I get it, daddy issues. You want to seem powerful and that you're kind of overcoming it. But let's just keep it to yourselves. It's like playing poker. Keep your cards to yourself. Don't give anything away.
I was going to say, if she really wanted to stick it to him, she would have actually gone to the FBI and had it all taken care of. But I still like Veronica is still struggling with she clearly sees her dad as her backup, but she's still struggling with trying to get him, I guess, in trouble. Like, she wants him to see the light. She doesn't want him to, like, go away to prison again. I don't know. I get that feeling. Well, she still wants hope.
It still seemed weird to me because after the first episode when she finds out, you know, everything that I did with Archie wasn't revenge against him. It was revenge against you for betraying me. And then she tells him, like, you don't have a daughter anymore. But then in this episode, she's still living at home. And they still have a little conversation real quick. Like, that's not really, you know, like saying, hey, I'm not around here anymore if I'm still living under the same roof as you.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I see somehow, this isn't even a prediction, but it's just like a long-term thing that whenever it is Hiram dies, which he has to at some point, you know, she's going to feel some kind of like, I hated him, but I loved him, and then is going to separate herself from everybody and feel that she's like, has something similar with him, which in a way I think Hiram is trying to manipulate right now. I think he gave her somehow the speakeasy and wants her to go run off with it and do what she's doing and sent her maybe... the people that sent her the Jingle Jingle and all of that to test her to be like, can you be the new me?
I was going to say, I think he's grooming her and she doesn't even know it.
Yep.
He thinks?
Yes.
I think so.
Let us know what you think in the chat, you guys.
Because I don't know, like now that she, well, I did like at least that she goes to Cheryl and Tony and they stage a quick raid to get some photographic evidence there at the White Worm.
Even though I just have to say, was it last week that she was like, I literally hate you guys? They were not speaking. It was either last week or the week before because Cheryl was trying to take...
It was last week.
Yeah. Archie, you know, and all of a sudden now they're BFFs. And I'm like, okay, continuity.
They made up with Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, they made up.
Dance together, you're just good.
Absolutely.
All right.
But I like the break-in and I like the upbeat music that was used for that. It wasn't like so dour and suspenseful. It was just like, hey, this is a little fun thing. We're just going into a Jingle Jangle lab and we're just going to take some photographs, as you do. On like a Thursday night here in Riverdale. Yeah. Sure. All right. But then tells Hiram, and then he just moves the lab. So I'm curious to see, is she still going to get pressure from the sheriff as well as Penny on protection money? Or because she kind of, you know, showed Hiram, I got what it takes, that he's going to call off the dog, so to speak.
See, I felt his line at the very end, the I'm proud of you. I felt like Veronica saw it as, oh, my dad's proud of me that I am running a proper business. I took it as he's proud of her because she is starting to kind of do what he does. She's starting to manipulate. She's starting to kind of like blackmail people, kind of how he is. Mm. I feel like that's what he's proud of. Again, like going back to he's training her without her knowing it.
It kind of builds her up, and then he puts her on that little slippery slope and then just kind of watches her just slide into how he acts.
Yeah, but where's Hermione? I thought she had her own plan going on, and I need more. I need to understand more because it just doesn't make any sense.
Why she's with him?
Why they both have their own things going on. There's been too much time that has been spent on them having their own operations and not giving us enough answers. As an audience, do they love each other? Are Hermione and Hiram really together? Like, what is their master plan? She's the mayor. What?
Well, given that conversation that she had with Veronica at the beginning of the season, that it's like she's not a kept woman. I mean, she has her own mind and stuff, but she does need to stay with Hiram.
Quote unquote, keep the peace.
Yes.
It's upsetting to me that the parents, except for Fred, who I made fun of earlier, but I mean, he really does only have his son's best interest at heart, where Alice, Hermione, Hiram, they don't seem to have their children, especially, you know, Hal, RIP. Did he die? Yeah, he died.
No, he's in,
I was going to say, what about FP?
He's like a Hannibal Lecter. He's in some kind of asylum or prison or something.
Okay, so an FP, you know, I want to believe him because I love him. But I just, it hurts me that these characters don't really seem to have their children's best interests at heart at the end of the day.
But I agree with you, Veronica. I think FP does. I mean, he might go about it the wrong way, but I definitely think that he is much closer to Fred than he is to Hiram or Alice or Hal.
I do agree with that. Yeah, 100%.
I think, is that our super cool storylines? We do get to see the speakeasy open, and we get to see Josie. She is the singer. Kevin is the MC. And Josie says she's excited. Since she broke up with the Pussycats, she's been looking for a place to really try out her new sound, what that's going to be. So she's excited about this opportunity. I'm really hoping that we see more of Josie this season because I feel like this whole thing, like she's with the Pussycats, she's broken up, and now she's doing this. Like, there hasn't been enough of her to me really even care about this.
Okay, so I kind of think that she could possibly become, I don't want to say a voice of the devil, but just like whatever I'm not going to say magic, hypnosis, whatever's happening with these people, that they're really into this game and this cult following. That she, you know, every cult kind of has a singer and it's like, da da da, and you know, they sing and everyone's like, oh my God. I think Josie is going to be that person and she's going to become huge because everyone's going to be obsessed with like whatever message she's sending.
Because I think people were really excited by having Josie introduced in the first season, but I feel like the bloom has maybe fallen off the rose because I feel like she just doesn't get as much attention as I would like that character to get.
I'm hoping that some of the characters who we haven't gotten a chance to see enough of that we love, like Kevin and Josie, get more screen time this season because of their parents' connection to whatever's going on with G&G.
Mm-hmm.
True. It's because especially last season when they were like Kevin and Josie were bumped up to series regulars.
We were expecting that, yeah.
And we didn't really even see much of them last season. So hey, you're right. I hope that's the case, Veronica. That'd be great. Especially when we see like Sheriff Keller is set up with Fred and FP to try to prove Archie's innocence.
Yeah, hot dads in Riverdale.
Yeah, unite, let's do it. As we're getting ready to go, we should probably talk about a little news and gossip,
yes.
Right, Tim? You've got some hot goss you've been sitting on. Share away.
Well, I just would like to share my experience with you guys. I went to the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina premiere, and I've seen a bunch of the episodes. Last week, I spoke to executive producer Sarah Schechter, who also produces Riverdale, and I told her my theories on Sweetwater River, which were crazy and kind of embarrassing, and I said, once you cross that river, let me tell you, some magic happens and things completely change. She stopped all of her other interviews and talked to me and said, what an interesting point. I really love your theory. She continued on and told me that there will not be a crossover episode in the first season of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but they're already shooting the second season, and that there likely will possibly be some kind of crossover between Riverdale and Sabrina. And also that we hear mentions of both. They mention Riverdale and Sabrina. Riverdale mentions Sabrina's characters and the place that, what is it, Greendale. Greendale. They mention it many, many times, and that viewers should not forget that just like Arrow, The Flash, all of those kind of shows are in the same universe. They abide by the same rules. This is kind of the same thing that we are dealing with here. Just because it's on Netflix versus the CW doesn't mean anything different. And I know that there probably are different rules, and I think Sweetwater River maybe takes the culty magic, this is just my opinion, takes it over to Greendale and then it becomes real magic. I don't know. But all that I do know is that Sabrina is coming out on October 26th, and it is a lot of fun. And they do mention, there's a couple jokes within there that go, where are you from, Riverdale? Like they're losers or something. And I love that. And yeah, a lot of people, Madeline Petch was on the carpet, was not giving interviews, just there for support. She looked absolutely stunning. But I think that this is a long game that they're playing, and there are going to be a lot of things to talk about with that in the future.
I would just like to expand on something you said, Sam. I don't know if it's the case. I haven't... I don't know if this is the case, but I personally felt like the beginning of this season was maybe a little support for Sabrina. Mm-hmm. Because they want to introduce that they are all in the same universe, and I feel like by introducing this G&G kind of opens up the world of, again, I'm sorry, Supernatural, I'm kind of with you on this one, Sam, that they can be in the same universe. Maybe they had this before Sabrina was even pitched. Maybe they didn't. That's just kind of how I saw what the storyline could have been.
Yeah.
Well, there was an article in Us Weekly with the creator for both Riverdale and Sabrina, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, and he did say that even though the show's villains for this particular season may have a similar look, they're completely different. So Sabrina is the Dark Lord, looks kind of similar to what you're seeing the Gargoyle King, but he did say that the Dark Lord definitely very much of a supernatural being. So that is since magic is real there, but the Gargoyle King, just a man in a mask, and he did go on to tease that it's probably somebody that we've met before.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Gargoyle King is someone we've met before?
Yes.
Ooh. Mark my words, the sweet frickin' water river. I'm not even kidding you. People pass that. Maybe that's where the Gargoyle King turns into the real thing. I don't know. Just saying.
All right. Before we do our predictions, let us vote for our class president and class clown. Class president, the person that you thought was the coolest, the best in this episode. Class clown, of course, the buffoon of the episode. Sam, Veronica, you have any choices of
spotlight? I need to think on this for a minute. I don't know. It's coming.
Betty, class president, as always, she would not have drank the Kool-Aid, let me just say. She would not have put that all out there. Class clown, I mean, freaking Polly. Sorry, Pauls.
She's just trying.
She's not. She's not.
Oh, class president. I probably agree with you, Sam. Betty, I think she was very smart. I think she was looking out for herself and trying to, you know, investigate the farm but not get too invested as her family has, which was very good of her. Class clown, and I feel like I might get a little...
Say it.
I don't know. I have to say it was Jughead. Just because I feel like for the person in the show who thinks they're very logical and is very good at mysteries and almost kind of maybe sees himself a little bit higher than other people, it's true, drank the cup.
You know, Veronica, I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm gonna put Jughead as my class president.
Okay.
Because you know, you gotta be that forward thinking leader. You gotta take those risks that anybody else might not be brave enough to do. So I'm gonna give it for him. Class clown, I'm gonna go for Baby Teeth. The boxer, just because that ridiculous name, Baby Teeth. Yeah, because I leave my mark on you when I bite you. I'm like, oh, all right, Baby Teeth.
And all right, we have a couple in the chat. Let's see. We have Jasmine Jones says, class clown Ethel or Alice or Polly. Maybe Jughead for drinking that stuff. Class president, hey. Betty or Veronica. And President Archie Clown Veronica from Anna Fitzgerald.
Nobody giving any Baby Teeth? All right, that's cool. Whatever, guys. To each
you
their
took
own.
A unique route. I appreciate it.
Drink the Kool-Aid, please, Frank. Whatever you do, promise us you just won't drink it.
Is this the Griffin or the Gargoyle Chalice? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Flip the coin.
All right. Predictions. Any predictions that you have for this episode? Or for this season?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, we are going to be off for, is it 1 week or 2 weeks?
What's 1 week.
One week. Okay. So we have our flashback episode, which we have been so excited about. We've been hoping for since season one. I think we're going to see the start of this game back then and the start of a lot of things that's been going on with these kids that their parents went through. And I think we'll maybe, it might be in a way through Alice's eyes, or we're just going to understand Alice better, because I do feel like she is such a strong character, but she's confusing me constantly. And hopefully we'll get some more info on Hal. And again, if you guys didn't know, most of the characters are being played by their children, which are on the show. And Mark Consuelos, who plays Hiram, is being played by his actual son, which That's is true. Exciting.
Yeah. I love it!
Yeah. And which I forgot, and it was great to be reminded of, that Anthony Michael Hall will be in this episode as the principal slash teacher for this, that's putting everybody into lockdown for the day.
Was this the Breakfast Club?
Yeah, yes. There you go.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Hey, 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 hey.
That's what we have to open with next time.
Oh,
for sure.
Man.
That's true. Veronica, how about you?
I agree with Sam. I think we're going to, in this flashback episode, going to see the beginnings of this game. But I also feel like we're just going to see a lot of the relationships and the tension between all of the parents that we've kind of seen growing throughout the season. So I'm very excited for that. I feel like Archie is going to get out within the next two episodes. And my theory on that is, I kind of already talked about, Hiram is starting to become very proud of Veronica. I feel like maybe he'll toss Archie a bone and be like, Veronica is coming to me. She's conforming to my ways, so you're okay.
I'm going to go with, I'm hoping that Riverdale has kind of learned a little bit from last season with the Black Hood. Because I felt like that storyline really stumbled in the second half of the season. I really would have liked a clean ending, and then just started a second story for the second half of the season. So I would love it if the Gargoyle King kind of wraps up at the end of the season. We can even get Archie out of jail. The second part of the season, I would predict that Betty is thinking that the farmer's really involved, not really involved. But once Alice and Polly are trying to move out, Edgar's like, no, it's not that easy. And I could see maybe Edgar moving into the forefront as like a big head of the story for the back half of the season.
And Hal has an evil twin.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. That was our predictions. But folks, thanks for joining us as always. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Thank you everybody for hopping in the chat, sharing your suggestions, your thoughts, your comments. We couldn't do the show without you. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us even after the show is over, Veronica, where can they find you?
Yeah, Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_. But you can also catch me right after this at 10 p.m. on the Survivor After Show.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I know a lot of you are asking about the Legacies After Show. I hear you. I see you. I know it premieres tomorrow. If we don't do it tomorrow, we will definitely do a recap in the next couple of weeks. We love you, so please stay tuned for that.
Oh, it's Sam D. Got a Vampire Diaries extension, so it's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like the only one alive still, but I'm kicking. I'm working on it, guys. I want to be there for you.
All right. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Let's talk about body fat percentage. And for Ben Bateman. Poor Ben Bateman. Did not get to share stuff about that. But thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you all next week, or actually in 2 weeks, November 7th, for another episode of the Riverdale After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.